This is CliffCentral.com.
Nature's proving that she doesn't love us to pieces.
You're
hectic. Tell you what, Friday morning, cliffcentral.com. It's the 23rd of March, otherwise known as the day you built the ark.
Oh, snap. Wait, do we start building today or are we late?
No, we're late, but we've got we're late. But you know what? There's still time for us sinners.
Oh, we lived out in this cruel, cruel world.
Sinners, build your ships.
Oh, boy.
Huh? How's this thing? What's going on here?
I was telling Sia that there is a riverbed outside of my complex where I stay that's usually bone dry.
Yeah.
In just turned into a massive 24 river. Hours, it's turned into basically an ocean. There's just water pushing down everywhere. I'm so scared.
I am too, you know. My whole everywhere, from the kind of the front door right the way around to where the pool is in the front of my house, there's just water at least 3-4 inches thick.
Yikes.
Yeah, I know.
And I know to use the mobile, nothing. 3-4 inches sounds like nothing.
No.
I know that's a lot less than what you're used to.
It's all about the context.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
Jesus, it's raining. I don't know that I've ever seen, and I mean, I don't have the best memory in the world, so I'm not necessarily the guy to ask about these things. I don't think I've ever seen rain this heavy.
This is crazy.
Or this long lasting.
Yeah.
And so consistent as well.
I went to sleep last night and I was like, better not be raining when I wake up. And it was raining when I woke up. And the day before, same thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, it's crazy. And I wish we could send all of this to Cape Town because we've got enough, thank you.
Are they not getting a single drop?
I don't think so. Not what I'm hearing.
Yeah.
Apparently, it's also been raining nonstop in KZN, parts of the Free State, Mpumalanga. So it's just coming down.
Cape Town must really hate us now, though.
Oh.
We're busy complaining about this.
But I'll tell you what, it's treacherous out there because, you know, we always talk about the rain and, oh, well, you know, we're going to have like a little bit of water in our front garden. But the fact is, like, there are people out there who are, like, literally swimming around at the moment.
Mm.
There are people whose possessions are floating away from them right now.
Yeah.
There are people who are on the roads this morning who will have accidents. I hope it's not you. But you could be driving along and you aquaplane. It happened. I watched yesterday driving home about 3 in the afternoon. I saw two cars just lose control. And you just see those hazard lights on the side of the road. You know what's happened. They've gone out of control. And you don't have to be going fast to aquaplane. And you don't have to be going, you don't have to be less attentive to lose control when it's wet like this. It can happen. It can happen to anybody. And you don't have to have a big car or a small car to make it happen either. I mean, I see these buses and trucks and I think, yes. I mean, Sia was just telling me now on either Coleraine or Ballyclare, one of the two. He saw,
There's always a Gautrain bus around those times, and I'm just assuming that the driver didn't exactly see one of the twists or miscalculated how much you should turn.
Because you can't see properly in this rain either.
And there are no streetlights around that part of the road, and so the bus is now just jackknifed right in the middle of the street. And so I had to now, already by the time I was driving, which was like 20 past 5.
So did you have to turn around?
20 past 5, there were already a couple of cars in front of me. And we had to turn around and recalculate. And for me, what freaks me out driving in this weather is you never know. Is it a puddle? Is it something deeper? Is it really something that's going to ruin your tires?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, everyone just relax.
Let me tell you something. I mean, you go over the normal bridges that you would on a day-to-day basis, and you can't use them in weather like this because that wall of water could come down the river and just take you away. And, I mean, half of these bridges are underwater at the moment anyway. And they're closed roads. I remember it wasn't so long ago I had a meeting scheduled. In fact, it could even have been March last year. Mm-hmm. I had a meeting scheduled here in Rivonia, and I was on the other side of the river. What a mess. Oh. Like, Joburg doesn't have a river. This is the whole point of Joburg, is that you don't have to worry about rivers. We don't have a river.
We don't. But
every other city in the world has a river or a port. Not us. Mm. We've got nothing. And then suddenly when it rains like this, you have hundreds of rivers, like the one in front of Mabali's house, which is now carrying a large steamboat.
You know, every day there are people who use that little riverbed to kind of cross over from one side to the next.
Like they're on their way to work or whatever,
There'll be none of that happening today. They can't.
If they try, they're finished.
Yeah.
Have you seen
any... By the way, we don't know where Ben is this morning.
Well...
And he comes in on the bike, and I'm very worried about him.
And he's the best of all of us, I think, with time.
Yeah, and I'm calling him, and it's going to voicemail.
So I'm a little worried. But we'll keep checking in. It's like when... You know, when weather like this comes along, then you're not like, he's late. Then you're like, shit, I hope nothing's wrong.
Yeah. Has anyone seen any damage because of the rain? Because even just a few office parks away, one of the carports has gone down and ruined their fence.
Oh, yeah.
I've seen a couple of trees down as well.
I don't think it's been violent rain. But when this kind of rain that's consistent, that keeps coming down, when that kind of rain is out there, then... It softens the ground. Trees lose their hold. And obviously the water dams up and it floods in places. And that's a big problem for a lot of people. Because just the volume of water is so huge. I mean, I have a rain gauge in my garden and it's overflowing.
Yeah, it's usually the people who live in the informal settlements and those kinds of areas that suffer the most under these conditions.
Oh, man.
Because, you know, they don't have proper houses.
They don't have, and there's no drainage.
There's no drainage.
In other words, between the shacks or on the roads that go to the various sort of sectors of an informal settlement, it's just a river and it's a dam. And you have to, and then they're all just trying to keep the water from out of their house. I mean, it's horrendous. It's absolutely horrendous. That is it's inhumane to live like that. And you see it when it, you know, like you can convince yourself, well, as long as it was dry, you know, this is habitable. But man, it's not. When it comes down like this, you suddenly see how awful it must be to live in a place like that. Mm. It's awful anyway, but it's really, really bad when you're walking on, you know, a foot of water. Between your bed and the little Primus stove that you've got in the corner. Mm. Jesus. I mean, be grateful for what you got.
Yeah.
Man. Hard as hell. And I wonder when it gets like this too, whether some people just decide not to leave home. I wonder because, I mean, this is going to be a stupid 2 days anyway. For some people, it's like an opportunity to take 2 days off because of the holiday on Wednesday.
Yeah.
So there might be less people at work anyway at the moment. Certainly doesn't feel that way on the roads. It's just as busy as ever.
Mm.
But I'm wondering if there are people who would stay away from work or who would stay away from travel just so that they don't have to deal with this flooding. I was going to go. I had bold ambitions yesterday after I eventually got home. I was like, I'm going to go to gym now and I'm going to do the shopping I need to do because I needed to buy some groceries and things. I was like, nah, not in this rain.
It can wait.
Forget about it. Because it would have been a nightmare.
It's not worth it.
No.
Get into your house, bury yourself into bed.
I'm telling you.
Call it a day.
So this weekend, zero travel plans.
Yeah, if it keeps on like this.
You stay at home and make sure that you build your boat.
Jeez.
An ark.
The ark.
It'll need to be you and 2x2 of everything you love.
This is the worst weekend because I have so much planned or people to see. Now I'm like, well...
Don't know if it's going to happen.
Yeah, how do I get out of everything?
I know some people are getting married tomorrow. Can you imagine that?
Oh, no.
Places flood and... No, it gets messy.
Well, the entire setting isn't glamorous, but okay.
So, take care of yourself this morning. Make sure that you're safe. Make sure that you are dry. Make sure that you're warm. Try to keep the rain out of your... life as much as possible because it doesn't look like it's going to stop. According to the Weather Bureau, it's going to carry on today and tomorrow.
That's
what I see. And maybe even further. Let me look at this thing because I saw I checked it last night. I'm becoming like my father checking a weather app. It's ridiculous.
Oh.
I'm so embarrassed. Okay, so yeah. It says Saturday might be sunny. That's good news. 8 o'clock this morning, 100% chance of rain. 9 o'clock, 100% chance of rain, and then it starts to decline. By 2 o'clock this afternoon, it says 30% chance of rain.
Okay.
And then it should be dry tomorrow, according to this. And then guess what? Monday it starts again.
Oh, no!
Like, why can't it just be wet and rainy this weekend when we're stuck at home, don't have to leave our houses?
No, are you kidding? People love their weekends, and especially while it's still reasonably warm. You want to make the most of the weekend. I would rather it was sunny on the weekend and rain during the week. And one thing that you've got to say about this kind of weather, and I hate to talk about the weather as much as we have, because we haven't done this in ages. Yes. I don't think we've spoken about the weather on this show for 3 years, but it's worth talking about this morning because it's so extreme. The one thing about this rain is that it does, you're focused, you know? Like, you're not too hot sitting around. You're not distracted by how pretty it is outside. You can work. And there's something about the rain that makes you, like, really sharp, I find. I mean, maybe it's not true for everybody.
Yeah, the rain just makes you want to be at home. Firstly, even leaving the house is asking for too much. Now when I'm outside, I just want to go home. Just get my little throw.
You got a throw?
Of course. Do I have a throw? I have throws describe for every season.
Throw. Tell me about this throw. Come on. Talk to me about the throw. Go.
So you don't watch The Fixer with Olivia Pope, but I got it after watching her, and she's like this high-powered Washington, D.C. figure.
And when she gets home, she has a mug of tea, and she wraps herself up.
A massive glass of wine.
She has a bit of a drinking
popcorn
problem.
And a throw, right. This cashmere throw. So I couldn't afford cashmere at that point, so I just bought one that looks like hers. Raindrops are falling on my
head. It does feel like that, though. I mean, that is a nice feeling. Just curling up in front of the TV. That's if you have signal. Anyway, I would prefer this to those violent thunderstorms, because that's where the problems come in. The real problems.
Or excessive heat.
Okay, now let's stop.
Yes.
Because otherwise we'll be on this forever. So, it is the weekend. Anything fun planned? You said you've got a whole lot of ideas, Sia. What are you going to do?
Yeah, I actually have a couple of friends who are coming over to Joburg this weekend. And actually, originally, I was meant to go to the SAFTAs.
Oh, is that
this
weekend?
The South African Film and Television Awards.
Wasn't that last night?
The first night was last night. And they have, three nights? Oh. The main event is happening on Saturday night. But the idea of driving to Sun City and with my friends coming over, just opted for friends and a less
hectic. They're doing it in Sun City?
They've got to be glamorous.
Yeah, I suppose that's true, right? You know, otherwise, it's just like, where are they going to do it? The Linda Auditorium? You know? Yeah. Kind of a bit boring.
Three nights of all of the hubs and bubs and huge festivities.
Well, the only person I would know there is Dumi Murake. I don't know anyone in TV. Do I? All the people I know are either not in TV, like Loiso Gola or Dumi Murake, or I don't know any of these people who are on TV. I turn on TV now, especially like local stuff. I don't know any of these people because I haven't been watching.
Well, you know Shona and Connie Ferguson.
Of course. You know, these days, the royal family of TV, yeah.
You know, these days they're mostly behind the camera.
Trevor Gumby's nominated this year.
Oh, you know, we know him.
Yes.
Okay.
Best Supporting Actor in a Comedy Series. That's what he's nominated for. Yeah, a bunch of other people, I think, who've also stopped by here.
I had a meeting with Trevor Gumby last week.
No?
2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he wants to start doing shows again.
Oh.
But we'll talk about it.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's a bit of the week.
Shona and Connie Ferguson. Oh, Jane was telling me the other day that Mara Lowe's been fired off some show. She had like some serious gossip.
Yeah.
And then like she took a whole lot of heat on Twitter, and then eventually like she was complaining that, oh, you know, no one cares about me, and I was fired from this show and I was fired from that show, and I've been fired from what show was she on?
So the Queen is the current massive
She had a small role in there, and they wrote her out.
You know, it's tricky because it's a case of he said, she said.
But Mara went as far, and I think this is hitting below the belt, but she went as far as posting the letters she received from Shona and Connie's production
company.
Look,
I mean, I've had some dealings with this woman. She's the one who accused me of spiking her drink when there was nothing going on but her drinking. And let's be very clear about this.
Yeah.
If you ever needed proof that we're dealing with someone who is totally disconnected from what's actually going on in the world, it's this poor woman and this poor Mara Lowe. I mean, she's just so out of it. Mm. Because, and you know, I never had an axe to grind with her. I've always been, and certainly in the media, I've always been supportive of her. I've always said that this is one of the old grand dames of our music business.
Mm.
Sat with her on Idols for what, 5 years? We sat next to each other. She was sweet and kind. I was nice to her. We laughed a lot. We had a great time. She turned like that. I have no idea what it is about some people. They turn like this, and then you just, like, then they suddenly unpack like a whole stream of shit that you didn't know that they had a problem with, that they suddenly have a problem with. And then I, you know, and this is after just like having, you know, to listen to her stories about her going out with Manto Shabalalam Simang and the two of them drinking it up. Mm. I mean, can you imagine that combination?
Wow.
And then she gets on this show, and she's done this one or two times since Idols as well, where she goes on to something and then she inevitably gets fired, or they just write her out, or they, you know, she resigns, or whatever happens. But there's always this poor me situation with her. There's always this massive victim complex going on there, which I've never understood. Because she did well. She had an amazing career in singing. She did okay, you know. She made a living out of it. Most people can't make a living out of their passion.
Mm.
And then she got all these TV opportunities. And she was good at some of them. I mean, I didn't watch all of them, but I'm sure she was good. She's a talented woman. Always complaining about poor me. So apparently Connie Ferguson eventually had enough of this too, and she's like, Jesus. So she gets on Twitter or wherever.
Well, I don't even think it was.
And she's like, shame, like, we're praying for you.
No.
Which is kind of what you say when you've given up on someone. Let's be honest. When you say, I'm praying for you, what you really mean is, I've totally given up on you.
You know, I've never taken that whole I'm praying for you phrase to mean anything good.
No.
I feel like people say it to be patronizing.
Yeah.
It doesn't come from a good place at all.
Yeah, I don't need that.
Did I ever tell you,
like, I bumped into some dude. Self. I'd never met this guy in my life before. But he'd read my book, or he'd listened to our show, or whatever it was. And he came up to me in the airport, and he's like, I'm praying for you. Out of the blue. So I'm like, well, first of all, hi, who are you? Second of all, what are you praying for me for? Why do I need... What happened to you, sir?
No, I just hit myself mid-laughter.
Why are you praying for me? Oh, no, because I read that you aren't a man of faith. So I said to him, well, then, that's exactly why you shouldn't be praying for me, because I don't care. I mean, it's not important to me, but it is kind of patronizing. So I said to him, please don't. Just, you know what, don't. I won't pray for you if you don't pray for me. And he's like, no, you don't understand. I'm going to pray for you whether you like it or not.
Oh.
You know, thanks.
You know.
What do you say to that? I just walked away.
Yeah, don't entertain it. It's also very arrogant.
Yeah.
Because it's a case of, what are your prayers going to do for me? Because your God, the Almighty, certainly has got this covered better than you do.
Yeah, like,
what are your prayers going to do for me?
He needs you to remind him.
Yeah.
And like, by the way, has any prayer you've ever heard changed the way the world works? Like, all these people, like, granny's dying and we need to pray for her. So people gather in the hospital, or they gather at home, and they're like, let's pray for Gran. And then guess what? Gran dies anyway. Then they say, what do they say?
Oh, shame.
What do they say?
It's God's plan.
Yes. Yeah. So who the fuck are you? Who are you to pray against God's plan? Who do you think you are? Like, if God wanted to kill Gran, who are you to get in the way?
I see it.
These are the same people who say to you the whole, they speak with one side of their mouth saying, I'm so humble. I'm God's servant. I'm just a mortal man. And the other side, they see the whole universe as being constructed for them, with them in mind. You know? God's going, hold on, Gabriel, stop building the rings around this new planet. See, I just worshipped a little, and now I need to just pay attention because he needs to win the lotto. Just hang on. Or his favorite football team are playing tomorrow, and he's praying that they'll win. Mm. Can you imagine? Mm. And the arrogance of that. Like, I'm going to just... That's like knocking on the door of the president.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me, Cyril. I know you're busy with reforming legislation and firing and hiring cabinet ministers, but I have a pothole on my street. Oh, hang on. Sorry, everybody. Let's stop. Blade and Angie and Nomvula, won't you come and hop in the back of the bucky with me and let's go and fix Gareth's pothole? Can you imagine? That's what these people are doing, except they're doing it to an almighty being they believe. So you believe in God. Fine. Cool. Mm. But how dare you pray against his wishes? Let him do what he's going to do. Don't pray. How dare you?
Well, did you watch...
He doesn't want to hear that shit. He's got a plan.
Did you watch Bruce Almighty?
No.
With Jim Carrey, and there's one of the scenes when, because Jim Carrey captures and has God's powers, and now he has to deal with everyone's prayers, and he's like, well, I don't know what to do right now. What is priority, yeah, and what goes first?
Can you imagine how busy God is? Give him the respect of not interfering in his plans. Oh. He's probably thought this through. I mean, he did ultimately build this universe. He's got a couple of good ideas. Give him the credit. I love this. People are so full of themselves.
So today's lesson is let God be. Don't bother him with your prayers.
Stop with your prayers. No one wants to know. All right? Stop it. All me with some people. Anyway, I don't know how we got onto this.
Yeah, no. Let's...
We were praying.
Let's read it back in.
We were praying.
All righty. It's a Friday morning. It's 6:30. These are the 5 things you need to know today. Take it away, my Balimoloi.
The question that the president is having to answer a lot these days is explaining why South Africans are going to be paying for former President Jacob Zuma's legal fees.
Yes, why should we pay for Jacob Zuma's legal fees? That's a very good question. I'm going to pray and find out what... I want to know what that's all about.
According to your president, Gareth, he says the decision to fund the former president's legal battle was taken because the crimes he stands accused of were, quote, of public import. What? Ramaphosa said that the presidency believed at the time of concluding the 2006 fees deal with Zuma that the crimes he was accused of committing were in regard to his duties as a parliamentary official, and that is enough.
Yeah, if his duties included stealing.
Ramaphosa has also sought to explain the appointment of Michael Hulley, the private attorney who is acting in Zuma's defense. He has been acting in Zuma's defense since day one, hasn't he?
Yeah, I'd love to know what's in his secret files.
Oh,
can you imagine?
Boy.
Imagine the conversations that guy's been involved in, because he's the one who gets called in. He's like the Olivia Pope of the president.
Yeah, saying that the state attorney has not asked to act because of fears of perceived conflict of interest. And then while the president was trying to explain why South Africans are going to be covering those legal fees, undertakers are in the process of raising money to pay some of those fees. The National Funeral Practitioners Association of South Africa, that's NAFUPA.
NAFUPA, I've never heard of them, but okay.
They're quite a big deal, actually.
Yeah, you see how stupid I am? I don't even know.
No. They're the organization that recently hosted a gala dinner in honor of the former president. Do you remember?
You'd think they have enough depressing crap in their lives that they didn't have to host a dinner for President Jacob Zuma.
I think it was a week or so after the president had stepped down, they then held this gala dinner in his honor to thank him for all the good that he's done. Anyway, they have vowed to come to the former president's rescue. They are launching a campaign to raise funds to foot his legal bill. So if these guys are raising the funds to foot the legal bill, then... why are we still being made to pay for his fees?
Yes, that's a very good question. And you know what the answer is? The answer is F you. Oh. That's what... Cyril, we've got to pay for this, blah, blah, blah. No, we don't. I don't see why we have to, especially if he's found guilty. If he's found guilty of behaving like this in office, not our problem. And he should pay.
Yeah.
South African taxpayers have shouldered enough of the burdens of the screw-ups of people like Nomvula Mokonyane, Faith Mutambi, Batabile Dlamini. Now we have to cough up for a thief? Outrageous.
Yeah. Outrageous indeed, but how do you feel about being charged 30% more, Gareth, for something that's quite useful in our lives?
Well, I don't know about you, but I keep getting these messages from my cell phone, provider, the the car insurance people,
yeah,
all telling me, oh, by the way, you know that 1% VAT increase? Well, you're going to have to pay.
Oh.
Extra. And they give me this, they send you these really polite messages, which of course I delete, because what are you going to do? You're not going to respond and go, can we discuss this? Because it's not up to, you know, it's done.
Can we work out some kind of payment plan?
Right.
Well, if Eskom has its way, electricity prices will increase by more than 30%. Thank you very much. But that's only if the National Energy Regulator of South Africa grants Eskom their wish.
Well, NERSA has been pretty good about looking after most of us in terms of not allowing Eskom to make unreasonable hikes. But, you know, they're out of money.
Yes, this is precisely the problem. Eskom submitted 3 applications to NERSA to try and recover 66 billion rand for over expenditure and low sales. And yeah, Eskom gave their projected sales and costs to NERSA as part of the RCA applications. Eskom can then retrospectively present the actual figures. So if NERSA believes that the costs were within Eskom's control, the power utility has to pay for it. Otherwise, it is worked into tariff increases to recover it via us, you and me, the consumer.
You see, I have such a problem with this. I do not understand how we ever got to a stage where the government and government departments and parastatals all thought it would be okay to just keep on spending and we would just keep on footing the bill. I mean, they've shown themselves to be completely incapable of managing the money. So why should we be the ones to carry the can? This is outrageous. They should be shut down. Shut it down. Shut it down. If you can't, if you've mismanaged, and you said it yourself now, they don't say, oh, it's because, you know, it's more expensive for us to produce electricity than ever, or there's huge demand. I mean, no. They've told us to use less electricity. Now we're using less electricity. They're providing less electricity, and they're charging us more. That doesn't sound like a good business plan.
Yeah, they do say it was because of overexpenditure, so.
Yeah, well, we know what they spent that on. Crazy.
Let's imagine that you need to go to the hospital at any second, and you arrive there and you walk in, but, oh, there's a crocodile in your
a
way.
A what?
A crocodile in your way.
You're joking. At a hospital?
A crocodile blocked the entrance to a hospital in the middle of Zimbabwe's coal mining town of Hwange.
Oh, my goodness.
Sparking panic and some very bizarre stories as well. So the crocodile was first spotted by taxi drivers on Tuesday evening.
You're telling me there's a crocodile there?
Yes.
In the entrance to the hospital?
That's exactly where he
oh
was.
Oh, my God.
He was also charging at patients who were trying to get into the hospital. Ooh. Oh my gosh. leading to panicked residents who began phoning the authorities. One such authority, Temba Tsuma, speaking to the media, saying in less than 5 minutes he had received more than 10 phone calls from residents who were in serious panic mode.
Can you imagine being the guy who you're sitting in your house or you're at your office or whatever, and you get a call from somebody and they say, you need to come and wrestle a crocodile out of the entrance to a hospital.
Mm.
Where do you even start?
Well, it's not clear where the crocodile came from, but the site of the hospital is 10 kilometers away from the nearest water body, and crocodiles often turn up in odd places during the rainy season in Zimbabwe, so this is nothing new for them. It's kind of like, oh, it's that time of season again. Down comes the rain, out come the reptiles.
Mm-hmm.
They did manage to eventually catch the 3-meter-long beast. There's also a grainy picture that was made available and started being shared on Twitter of the beast being caught. But yeah.
You would swear that they'd be better than a grainy picture. I mean, we've all got camera phones. Everyone on Earth.
Oh, no. Oh, sorry. My mistake. Zimbabwe National Parks rangers eventually had to shoot him dead.
Oh, well.
Yeah, well.
It's a crocodile. I'm sorry. I can't be emotional about all animals.
Yeah. But I mean, imagine.
Find a crocodile. If I got home and I found a crocodile in my entrance, I would be happy for them to shoot it.
I'd be like, you know what? That's the crocodile's home now. It's fine. I'll find a new place to live.
You'd actually move up.
You can move in. It's your home now.
I mean, a crocodile. That's a pretty scary thing to find in your entrance hall.
Jeez.
Never mind me. We're just taking these patients to trauma, Mr. Crocodile. Can we just step over you quickly? Wow.
Yeah.
What a story.
What a story indeed.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. So we found Ben.
He's alive.
He's all right. He's alive. And we're actually going to go to him on the sport. He's in his bedroom. He's on Skype. Here he is. Let's go to Ben. See what he's got here quickly. Yes, Ben. Good morning.
Wow. How about the timing here? Straight in.
I know. Listen.
Yeah.
Were you caught in the rain? Did you wake up late? What happened?
Sorry, guys. I was having a great sleep. I put my phone to charge last night, like I always do, and the thing didn't charge. And I can only tell the truth. And that's it.
Well, now you know. You won't be so smug the next time anyone of us are late.
Yeah.
Listen now, to the two of you.
You guys
miss work.
It's the three of us. The last time this happened to Sia, you were rolling your eyes so far back into your skull, it looked like you were having a seizure.
Yeah, and I will continue to do so. This is a human weakness, guys. We must not stand for this.
All right. Well, get on with it. What's in the sport?
Oh, good morning to you too, you smug old bastard.
What's in the sport?
Gareth, there's quite a lot in the sport. Yesterday, the Proteas got off to such a good start against the Shackle Draggers. But it's so annoying that these guys never give us a chance to be smug. They never give us a chance to gloat or anything like that. Out of nowhere, they lost 6 wickets for 37 runs in the final session. And if it wasn't for Dean Elgar, they would probably be bowled out already.
Mm-hmm.
266 for 8. They were 220 for 2. Elgar still is there, 121. Kakisa Rabada, he's there as well. But the Aussies came back so well in that last session. And the pitch was looking good to bat on. And, well, they just absolutely fluffed it. They went full England in the space of 35 minutes. And it was really, really sad how the day ended. So they'll resume with the 2 wickets in hand. And look, the pitch looks a good one. I mean, it's definitely something in it for the bowlers, but it's ultimately a decent batting wicket. So we could have 5 days of action here, and it's going to be bloody exciting.
All right.
England, who are completely crap. Of course, they were bowled out for 58 yesterday. Well, the rain's saving them a bit at the moment, because obviously in New Zealand, the weather's exactly the same as it is in England. They have 3 days of summer, and it's mostly dreadful. New Zealand are currently 229 for 4. So they've got a big lead. They lead by 171 runs with 6 wickets in hand. So they're going to win that match. It just depends on how they would like to win it, I guess. But also, big cricket yesterday, there was this whole World Cup qualifier going on. So all the sort of minnow teams, they're all playing each other in Zimbabwe right now, which is great because obviously Zimbabwe gets in cricket after a long time. So the West Indies are through. They had a kind of a controversial Duckworth-Lewis kind of win over Scotland. But they were always going to go through. So, I mean, people can whine about that all they want. But then Zimbabwe, all they had to do was beat the UAE yesterday. All they had to do. And the UAE, I mean, they don't really have a team. They just have guys that have played a bit on the side while they're making massive oil money. So UAE got 236, but then there was rain reduced. Duckworth-Lewis came in. Zimbabwe needed 230, and they couldn't do it. They couldn't do it. They needed 6 off the last ball, couldn't do it. So now Ireland take on Afghanistan today, and the winner takes all. Whoever wins that match goes into the World Cup in 2019. That's about as exciting as you're going to get in sort of second-tier cricket right now.
All right.
And then Super Rugby, of course. I went through those fixtures yesterday. We've got a full weekend of Super Rugby. And the match of the weekend is definitely Hurricanes versus Highlanders. So that's tomorrow at 8:35. Very, very exciting stuff that. And we all know that, well, even though, as Nas always says, you can't lose Super Rugby in March, but you can definitely sort of scupper your chances of really winning it, because you've got to have basically a clean sheet throughout this. You need to get the home semi-final. You need to get the home final. So if you've lost 2 or 3 matches already, well, your chances of getting anywhere are very much slim to none. There's F1 coming up pretty soon, but I won't get into that just yet because, let's be honest, it's not the biggest sport. There was huge golf last night with the WGC, and, well, there's been some surprises because Dustin Johnson, he's already gone. That's it. Defending champion. He's lost two in a row. So, yeah, it happens that quickly. There's no time for messing around in match play. So even in a stroke play, you can have a good round and come back. There are no such chances in match play. So Rory McIlroy won, but he's going to wait for some results to really go his way if he is going to get to the second round, because there's 16 pools of four. So if you don't win your pool, well, get bent, really. But Bubba Watson's in a major form. He won yesterday. Ian Poulter's now won two out of two. So all the big names are still there. John Rahm looks like he might not make the weekend either. He was the guy who made it at the final last year. So it's going to be very, very interesting going forward for that. It's not really a big weekend for football. I can't say I can find any fixtures. So you've got to focus on the crickets. You've got to focus on the rugby. And, of course, there's amazing golf from start to finish with the WGC. And because they're playing so much, and it's in Texas, so the time zone's pretty good for that as well. So you won't have to wait up too late to watch all that stuff. Gareth, that is pretty much it for your sport. We're going for strength and quality today. There's no other real stories that are making the headlines. It's been a pretty good week. I must tell you to go listen to yesterday's Bounce Show podcast, because Australian Dennis and I really have a good toe-to-toe battle over what's been happening in the series, what it means to be Australian, what it means to be South African. It's quite involved. So cliffcentral.com and find it on the Bounce Show page.
Well, Ben, you also made a video the other day about who the nice Australians are and who the not-so-nice Australians are, and people should go and look at that, because we don't want to blanket everyone. We don't want to stereotype all Australians.
I totally agree, Gareth. So that's more of a public service kind of thing.
Yes.
And if you are just looking to see what's been happening in this series, because it's been as much off-the-field action as been on-the-field action, I've also made a video on my YouTube channel about that, which you can catch up on.
Right. Very good. And you can go to his YouTube channel, which is Follow the Bounce, one word. All right.
Thanks,
Ben.
All right. Well, have a lovely day, and I'm sorry I'm not there.
Yeah, try not.
I really do apologize.
Try not to wash away.
Oh. You know what, Ben?
It literally hasn't stopped raining since yesterday morning. I don't even know if I have a motorbike out anymore. It's probably gone. Like, it's been taken by the rats.
Listen, you are better off for having overslept. It's crazy out here. It's dangerous. Jeez. So you stay in bed.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
All right, guys. That's very nice, Mubs. Thanks.
Mm.
All right. Bye-bye, Ben. There we go. There's Ben with a look at the sport. All right, let's turn our attention to Sia. I'll give you the cryptocurrency news in just a moment. Sia, what do you got for us this morning?
Well, I was taken aback by seeing this image that was circulating on my social media a couple of days ago, and I decided actually to research more about it and the story behind it, and that has surprised me and amazed me even more. So it was a picture of Richard Appiah Okoto, who is a teacher from Ghana.
We spoke about him.
Did you see him?
Yeah, we spoke about him, and I've heard some good news in that respect. He was the guy who has never, ever touched a computer in his life, but he was teaching his students in Ghana about computer science. He would draw the screenshots on the blackboard.
How crazy.
Yeah.
So in the midst of doing that, he's now become the new rock star in amongst his industry. Because did you also discuss that the fact that he's now been to Singapore and he received a standing ovation there for what he's been able to do? So going to this conference with a lot of Silicon Valley hotshots, people have now banded to support him in everything that he's doing. The mere fact that he's from this village with no computers at all, he used to use his own laptop, which broke in the process. But now, for example, one person from the UK has donated computers to his school, and an IT firm from Ghana has given 5 desktops to the school and another laptop for Okoto himself. He supposedly, when the students saw the computers for the first time, they were so excited, but they already knew the parts of the computer from the teacher's drawing, so proving how much of a good job he's doing. After the 3-day conference he attended in Singapore, at which he was given a standing ovation, the 33-year-old said that donations meant that he would never have to resort to a chalkboard again. He was so grateful and has said that I hope to get more computers so that every student will be behind one. And in closing, he also said that I also hope that the other surrounding schools who are also lacking, like my school, we hope to get more so that we also give them computers to help in their teaching of ICT ultimately. But what an incredible guy to be able to be that committed to helping your students and to be committed to the cause. Like, it's a lot, because in doing more of my research, I realized that his lesson is something that every student of his has to actually learn and pass. It's part of their national exam that includes questions on information and communication technology. But given that the school hadn't had a computer since 2011, there was only, just looking back at his year, there was only one student who had passed this. And so it was so unfortunate. But now that the world has banded together to make his and the school's lives easier,
well, I love the fact that this guy had nothing and he still managed to make it work for his students. You know, we often talk about how this person has a lot and that person has nothing, but you don't have to have everything to care. And this shows you, if you're a teacher and you want to teach computer science, you don't have a single computer, you can still teach your students something. I mean, that's a winning attitude. That guy's going to, he would have been successful in anything he did. And he's probably the most beloved teacher in that school because he gives he actually cares.
Yeah, that is the sign of selflessness, I think.
Yeah. I think
and resourcefulness. I mean, drawing the whole screenshot on your blackboard with chalk. Unbelievable.
For me, the first hurdle I wouldn't be able to climb is the fact that he teaches over 100 students.
Gee, okay, you see?
Even that, first and foremost, I was like, cool, no thank you, can't do that.
Yeah.
But he takes it a step further by being so committed. So,
yeah,
he's an amazing person, and I think it's amazing that the community around the world is also just applauding him in kind.
Well, I'm not excited about cryptocurrency this morning. It's kind of like the weather. It's just in the doldrums. So let's take a very quick look. Bitcoin trading at 8,417. That's $8,417.29. Ethereum at $519.28. If you are interested, Bitcoin Cash, $970.91. And these are, and there are lots of others, but they're all rubbish. No, they are. They're all in the dumps. So it's not even worth
really
talking about this morning.
Like the weather.
You know, for all those people who started in cryptocurrency in November and December last year, and you thought, oh, this is going to be what's going to improve my portfolio. Well, you should listen to Anthea, because when she said you'd be better off investing in the stock market, she was absolutely right. Anyway, we'll keep you informed, and don't forget, Anthea is not in on Monday, so we'll have Salejo coming in to help us out with the money shot, and plenty of other info when Run pops in next week to talk about cryptocurrencies, which I know a lot of people are into. And by the way, we'll be launching a series on crypto soon, so if you're one of those people who believes in the long-term promise of blockchain technology and what it can do, then you're probably not much dissuaded by the bad news that you see at the moment in terms of the trade in cryptocurrencies, because you know that long term there's a lot that will be done that will ultimately have to factor into our lives, and it could factor in a very positive way. So I hope you're ready to start your day. I hope you're ready to get cracking this morning. Try and stay dry, because it is a mess. And you know what it's like out there. When it rains, people just drive badly. They lose their minds. Seems to have stopped for a little while. No? It's still going.
Still coming down.
You're still not.
Oh, God. Really?
Yeah. Still coming down.
All right. Well, if you can, build a big pipe and let's send it to Cape Town. Yeah, if you've got some time.
I was wondering where this was going.
Big pipe and let's send it all to Cape Town, shall we?
Fresh.
Let's get going. Are you ready? Friday morning. It's like the worst version of the song I've ever heard in my life. Let me just try that again. Good Lord. It's like the thing's been playing through a... hang on a second. There we go. That's a little bit better. It's like it was playing through the back of the wall here.
This is CliffCentral.com.